Today's daf in Masechet Sotah brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, where we have Kayanim that are Oisek in Tenufa Yom Yom from the Zman of the Churban Ad Azman Azeh. You can see it right there on your screen. Look at that. Mala Meirid. Unbelievable. Where's Gavi when you need him? Where's Akiva when you need him? Yeah, it looks like a cup of coffee, Akiva. Okay, today's daf in Masechet Sotah, brought to you from Yerushalayim, Yer HaKodesh, is daf Memchet, and we're holding right at the bottom of Mem Zayin Amud Beis, Mishemet Yosi ben Yoezer. So it says, Pasku de Eshkolot. What exactly are Eshkolot? Which means, of course, literally means the clusters. But we use it, Amr Vyud Amr Shmuel. Eshkolot is a word that we use for people that are shleimim, ish shakol bo, person has Torah kula without any bilbul, without any machlokas, he understands everything clearly, he has all of the midas, teves, that's hakol bo. The next thing that we had in the Mishnah was Yochanan Kohen Gadol, he'evir hodayat ha'maser, so he said we should no longer say vidui ma'aser. That's amazing. And that's a mitzvah d'oraisa, my time. So why did Yochanan Kohen Gadol did that? Omer Rav Yosef Rabbi Chanina, v'fi she'ein notnim oto ketikuno. We no longer give Meiser properly. Why? The Torah says, nasati la Levi, and that's the whole point, Rachmona Omar diavo la Levian. Meiser Rishon is supposed to be given to the Levian. But because Ezra Sofer was angry that none of the Levim came to join him to go up to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash and to settle Yerushalayim. So the Ezra Sefer gave a knas, and he said that from now on, we won't give Maaser Rishon to Levim, and we'll give it to the Kayanim. The truth is that's a machlokes, whether it's usher to give it, you only give it to the Kohanim. But the point is that certainly we do give it to the Kohanim, and we started giving it beikar to Kohanim, and certainly according to one man, the Omer, it can only be given to the Kohanim, so we don't do it correctly. So how can we say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we did everything you told us to do, I didn't give it to the Levi the way you told me to give it to the Levi. Okay, says the Gemara, but don't be mevatel the entire thing, so skip the part about the Levi, and then you could still say, I gave it to the ger, the atom, the almanah, that you can say, because that's referring to other maesers. That's maeser ani and maeser sheni. So ludei ashar maesrot. You can say the rest of it, but why was he mevatel the whole thing? It seems like a drastic move to make. Amar Reish Lakish, because kol bayit inu mitvada maaser rishon, shuvenu mitvada al shar maesrot. It's because if you don't say la levi, you can't say the pasuk. My time. The first thing that is mentioned in the pasuk is the natatev la levi vela ger la yatom vela almana v'achlu b'arecha v'saveyu. So the levi, that's maaser rishon to the ger, and so on is maaser ani. V'achlu b'arecha is a reference to maaser sheni. But if you can't start the pasuk by saying "Gam natativ la Levi," so then there's nothing to do because that's what the Torah wants first. If I can't say that, so then I can't go further. Wait a second. That's mashma that the issue over here was only that we gave the Meiser to the wrong people. We gave it to Kohanim instead of Levim. But definitely there was no problem of not saying the vidui, because we don't take off Meiser at all, but that's not true. You're saying, Michlal dafrushe avim afrushe. They did give Meiser. Didn't we say that they didn't? Be in the bright that says, afru bitel, the same Yochanan Kohen Gadol that was mevatel, the vidui Meiser, he was not only bitel as avidui, he was gozer al hadimai. And it's mashma that the two things are interdependent because it goes on to say, Lefisha shalach b'chol gvur Yisrael v'ra'ashen mafrishin ala truma gadol bilvat. Umayser Rishon, Umayser Sheni, Mitzatan Ma'asrin, Mitzatan Ein Ma'asrin. So because he sent out, he did a census all around Eretz Yisrael to see whether people were essentially taking care of the Trumas and Maisers. And he discovered that everybody takes off Truma Gedayla, because why not? I mean, Truma Gedayla doesn't really cost you anything, because even Chita Achas Poteras HaSakri. So because of that, people would take off the Truma Gedayla. But when it came to Maiseris or Maiser Sheni, some people would and some people wouldn't, even though it was a rove that did. So because of that, he said to anybody who buys from Manam Haaretz, Bonai, I want to explain to you something. Bovo Marlachen, you need to understand that there's no difference from the point of view of your chashash. There's no difference between Tevel, that Truma Gedola was taken from, or that, and but Meiser wasn't taken from. And because, look, you guys think that because Truma Gedola is a chiev of Misa, Bidei Shamayim, if a czar eats it, so you think as long as people took off Truma Gedola, you don't have to worry. But that's not true. Because you need to understand, the same Misa that there's a chiev, if you eat Truma Gedola, and therefore you want to get the Truma Gedola out of your Tevel, but the same thing is true of Trumat Maaser, or for that matter, Tevel, that you didn't take off Maaser Rishon or Maaser Sheni. It also has the same chiev as if you were a czar eating Truma. So Mamela, if you buy from someone who only took off Truma Gedola, you still are going to expose yourself to Chiyav Misa B'dei Shamayim. So Amad V'itkin Lahem, to see that this would be dealable with, so he went and he made a tremendous takana, namely, that alokeach perot mi'ama aretz, you don't have to lose much money over here. You buy peres from an ama aretz, you take out the Maaser Rishon and the Maaser Sheni, but you don't give it to anybody. You don't have to worry about that. Because as long as from the Maaser Rishon, you're mafresh trumas Maaser. So now that you give to the Kohen, nothing else is a problem. Because your Maaser Rishon, even though you took it out, if the Levi wants it, you say to him, look, you know, prove to me that this stuff wasn't taken out before. Because I bought it from somebody, and most people take it out. And then it would become a motzi mechavero lavaraya. So you don't have to give it to the Levi. There's no gezela and there's no iser in eating Maaser Rishon. As far as Maaser Sheni is concerned, you can be paid at it and then you bring the pidyon to Yerushalayim or you might be the pidyon. So you lose a penny. And that's not a problem. So wait a second. So as Rashi asks, why can't you do that also with your Trumas Maaser? Because when you take off the Trumat Maaser, why give it to the Kohen for free? Why not sell it to the highest bidder? Because you could still say, listen, monetarily, hamotzi b'chaveru lavaraya. I mean, what makes you think that this wasn't already taken off the Trumas Maaser? Okay, I have to be machmer, I'm not allowed to eat it, but that doesn't mean I have to give it to you. You can buy it from me. So buy it from me 10 cents on the dollar, whatever. But the point is, here it says you're mechuyev to give it to the Kohen. So as Rashi explains, part of the takana was that if I'm going to keep the Trumas Maaser around in the house until I get a Kohen to bid on it, I may end up eating it. So therefore, in order to avoid somebody being nichshal in an iser misa b'dei shamayim, part of the takana was that the Trumat Maaser should actually be given to the Kohen. So then the Maaser Sheni, I love Achlav Yerushalayim, Maaser Rishon, Maaser Ani, you just say, listen here, sorry guys, but I'm Otsimi Chaviro Olav Araya. But anyway, it seems pretty clear from here that because of this census, that the Yochanan Kohen Gadol was not only Mitakein, the Din of Demai, but because of it, he was Mevatel the Vidui. And you said, we're Mevatel the Vidui, only because of the fact that now we don't give it properly to the Levi because of the Knas of Ezra. That's a contradiction. No, you're reading this all wrong. There were two separate takonas, okay? First of all, when he was mevatel the vidui, that wasn't the vidui of people in general. He was mevatel vidui even of chaverim. And he said, even people were very makbid, and they give Maaser Rishon and so on. But they still cannot say the vidui Maaser because they're not doing it lefi the way that the Torah said to do it. They're doing it according to the Gezerah of Ezra. So how can they say, v'gam natativ la Levi? They can't. So because of that, it was mevatel vidui of chaverim. Besides that, there was also the question of how to deal with the hamon am in terms of people buying from them. Because it used to be, you would go over to somebody's house, and, I mean, he's a big tzaddik, this guy. You'd still have to ask him, listen, I know you buy in Supersol. You know, are you relying on them taking meiser? And so on, right? So he, after the time of his takonas, we're about to discuss, everybody would take off Dmai, and they wouldn't use their own das. Well, I think he's a reliable person. That was no longer the issue, so you no longer had to ask. You know that if you're eating by a chaver, that there's no problem. So everyone has the same standards. And therefore, nobody's going to come to end up eating tefa. So there were two separate takanot. Bito vidoi of chaverim, and it was also gozer on Dmai of people who buy from an ama oretz. Then the next thing that we had in the Mishnah was he was mevatel the me'orarim. What exactly are me'orarim? Me'orarim, the alarm clocks. He stopped people using alarm clocks because they were bothering the neighbors. What exactly are me'orarim? Omer Rechava, b'chol yom v'yom, shayu omdim levi'im al ha'duchan. When the levi'im got onto the duchan, before they said the shiras hayom, they would say the pasuk from Tehillim, Ura Lama Tishan Hashem. Now, that type of thing you can say when there's an emergency and the Goyim are coming and Klal Yisrael is in terrible shape. So as a metaphor, you say, Ribbono Shel Olam, you're master ponim, and that you're making it seem that you're asleep and you don't care about us anymore. That's what we say. But you should say such a thing. What? That as if you wake up in the morning, you have to wake up HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is nonsensical. V'chiyei she'na lifnei ha'makom. Halor kvar nemar hinei lo yanum v'lo yishan shomer Yisrael. Ela bizman she'Yisrael shruim b'tsar v'odei kochavim b'nachas v'shalva. When you see a world that is completely messed up, Klal Yisrael suffers and the Goyim are having fun. That's the pasuk of Ura Lamet Yishan Hashem. But, I mean, now, we Baruch Hashem, you're here in the Beis HaMikdash. Everything is fine. You start off the day to be Ma'ir Hashem as if he's asleep just because you guys just got up. It's a Chilul Hashem. Okay, the other thing that he did was that he was Mevatel Nokfim. Nokfim are people that bang on things. What is that referring to? Omer Yudam Shmuel, Shayum Misartim La'egel Ben Karinav, Kidei Sheyipol Dam Be'inav. It was the norm is that you wanted to be Sheichet the Korban. So then you would make a little scratch, on the, between the, horns that would actually start dripping blood. It was a superficial scratch. And that would make the animal very confused. It couldn't see properly. And it wouldn't be able to fight you off when you were trying to put it onto the ground in order to shecht it. Kedei sheyipol dam be'inav. He was mevatel that. And he says this is not, it's not appropriate because it looks like you're making a mum. So then, I mean, even though, of course, it's not a mum, this doesn't have it in a mum, scratch is not a mum, but I don't want people to make the mistake of thinking that they could be making a mum. This was the nokvim is a lotion of hitting it. What they did was, is they would sit, they would bang with sticks on it until it would fall to the ground. That would make it much easier for them to shecht. Amar lahem, so he said, Ad matayatem machilim nevelot lemizbeach. What's the matter with you? You're giving them the mizbeach nevelais. Nevelais? What do you mean nevelais? You shechted them. How are they nevelais? I mean, treifais. Because if you're going to bang on the animal, what if you hit the head? And maybe you'll break through a krum shel moach, and you'll cause it to be a treifa, but there's no way that you're going to know whether you actually caused some type of break in the cerebral membrane. That's one of the treifas. So amad v'kilam tapa'ot bekarka. So he was mitaken that they should have the tapa'ot that we learned so much about in the Mishnah, and that way you could put the next between the tapa'ot. And that would make it very easy to do shechita. Others learned that the tapa'ot, that was part of the norm in the Beis HaMikdash from before, that when it says, yitkin lehem tapa'ot, it means that they would put chains that would hold them down so that the neck would stay under the tabot. Okay, whatever, but we understand the point. Ad yamavaya patish makeh b'Yerushalayim. What's more, until Yochanan Kohen Gadol's days, there used to be the noise of the hammering in Yerushalayim. What is that talking about? That's talking about on Chol HaMoed. So even though it's usher to do malach on Chol HaMoed, but people that were working on something that was Litzorach HaMoed, or that was something that was obviously it's a dover of Hefzed, and that would be mutter for them, they would be banging. But people who were hearing the banging, they didn't know that it was something like that. They just thought, I mean, it completely destroyed the sense of menucha. It made it feel as if it's a normal Yom HaChol. And that's called afsha milsa. It's loud and it causes people to be mizalza. And everybody notices it. So he, even though it was still mutter, obviously, until today, it's still mutter to do something which is going to be a loss that couldn't have been done before. But he answered it if it's afsha milsa during Chol HaMoed. Kol yamav lo hayadam tzarich lishol al adamai, and in his days you no longer needed to ask. So where'd you get this stuff from? You know, did you meister it yourself? You relied on them. I don't really rely on them. You no longer have to do that because of his takana. That's Kiri Amran, as we have explained earlier. And now it's time for a word from our. Oh my gosh.
Sorry, Rabbi. slightly delayed.
I see. And so, to continue the decline of what used to be a functional society, Misha Batla Sanhedrin. So, from the time that the Sanhedrin became Batal, at that point, which is a rather strange thing, because, I mean, the Sanhedrin ended up being Batal in the sense they couldn't do all of the dinim, and they had to move out to Barnea's neighborhood, and that provides him with all of the Sanhedrin tours. So, Lechora, that should not have been the trigger for the end of song. And yet, the Mishnah says, Batal Ashir, mi beit hamishtaot. We had to stop singing songs. So what does that mean? So because of that, there's a big machlokas, Rishonim. What is this iser of music? Is the iser because of the bittul of Sanhedrin, or is the iser because of the Churban? And Misha Batul Sanhedrin is essentially seen as a step towards Churban. There's a big difference, because if it's dependent and actually in the bittul of the Sanhedrin, so according to those shitas, what it means is that as long as there was a functional Sanhedrin, as we've seen throughout the sugya here in Egla Rufa, that the Sanhedrin takes social responsibilities. One of the social responsibilities of the Sanhedrin was to control the lyrics of songs, so that you don't end up with the type of music that you have today, God help us, in which, you know, in the space of 20 short years, words that weren't able to be said in public are now words of songs. I mean, it's absolutely unbelievable. So it used to be that you could have normal songs. And once the Sanhedrin was batal, so songs became full of pritzas, of four-letter words, of just disgusting things. So they canceled all of the music in the Beit HaMishtah. Now, we'll talk about this in a moment, the details of the halacha. But that would mean that it would be negeya, not the inyanim of the Churban, but actually the inyanim of the Sanhedrin, which would explain the Mishnah. If you learn that the getter of the Bishabatla Sanhedrin is as part of the development of the Churban, then this has nothing to do with the lyrics. It has to do with the simcha of the song. And that would be because we want to be memayit the simcha because of Yerushalayim al Rosh Simchatenu. But note that it says, mi beit hamishtaot, shenemar bashir lo yishtu yayin. So apparently, the takana was only bebeit hamishta'ot. And that's, you know, that's places where everybody is happy and things can get out of hand. So because of that, they canceled it. Now, after the Mishnah, I'll go into the halacha with you. Mi shemetu nevi'im arishonim. So after the original nevi'im, the Gemara is going to say, who are exactly the nevi'im arishonim? Well, because it says here, batlu urim v'tumim. The urim v'tumim stopped working. I mean, so we're going to have to figure out what that means. Misha'charav beit hamikdash, batel hashamir. Remember, the shamir was that magic worm that is able to break through stone. V'nofet sufim. The Gemara is going to ask, what exactly is nofet sufim? We don't know yet. Uposka anshei amanah b'Yisrael, and people used to be people that would trust, people that have trust, they have faith, faithful people. That no more faithful people. And we'll see what that's about. Shenemar Hoshia Hashem ki gomar chasid ki pasu emunim ibnei adam. There's no longer people who are reliable. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel omer, heid Rebbe Yoshua, mi yom shecharav beit hamikdash, ein yom she'ein bo klala. What the Gemara is going to say is, every day adds a little bit more horror. V'lo yorada ta levracha, since the churban, you don't even have dew that brings bracha. We don't even have proper tastes in our perot. Nital tam ha-perot. And you end up finally with American engineered food in which all flavor has been engineered out because people cannot tolerate flavor anymore. Rebbe Yossi Omer, af nital shuman ha-perot. It's not only the taste, but the whole creaminess, yummy, is all gone. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, the nourishment is not there. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Omer, when people were no longer makpid on Tyra, that ended up destroying Tam, destroying Reach. Without Tyra, Tanefesh, there was no longer flavor in life, no longer smell. People lost all of the glories of their senses because they were no longer able to be human in their consciousness. If you take a look at the Rabbeinu Bachya in the Kad HaKemach, you will see the most incredible, he has an entire essay, which is essentially an ode to the senses. And he speaks over there, I mean, this is for all of you people who believe the Rabbeinu Bachya, you know, he's always a little bit Christian, you know, always putting down enjoying life. You should read this, in which he teaches you how to start enjoying taste, enjoying smell. And he brings psukim for every one of these things that people that don't know the incredible joy that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given them in the world, and so on and so forth. Okay, so this, without Tahira, people don't even notice, you know, Tam, Reach doesn't mean much. When people stopping makpid on Meiser, so then all of the nourishment of the Dagon was removed, and people started making white bread that you can't even eat, and they think that that is good. But snut and kshafim, that was the end of everything. Now there's no longer anything that's any fun, because this basically completely destroys all of what's good in life. Okay, so now, this idea of the bittul of music, how do we know that that was at the time of the bittul of Sanhedrin? Mimayda misha batla Sanhedrin, what gives us the idea that that posik of Bishir lo yishtu yayin, that that was ketiv specifically in terms of the Sanhedrin, that you're making it dependent? Omer vune bereder of Yeshua, the Omer kra, that's because of the posik in Eicha. Zikenim mishar shavatu bachurim eneginatam. When there were no longer zikenim in the Beis Hamikdash, in the Shar, in the Lishkas Hagozis, so at that point the youngsters had to stop singing their music. Omar Rav, udna deshama zimrate akeret. It's not only making music. People that are listening to this kind of music, they should have their ears torn off. Omar Rav, zimra baveta churba basifa. You bring music into your house, you're bringing destruction to your doorway. Shenemar kol yeshorer b'chalon, if there is a singing voice in the window, chorev b'saf ki arza era, then there's going to be destruction right at the entryway, because arza era, that's sort of weird. The cedar has become torn apart, like ura ada yesodba. But, I mean, the simple meaning, arza era, seems to be saying that cedar is a city. What is that supposed to mean? Maiki arza era. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, look, I mean, it's obviously, it's a remez, right? But the idea is era is not only ura, which is to uproot, to destroy, but it also would mean the city. So it's basically saying, so you think you've got yourself this incredible home with your beautiful pillars in front, your gate, and everything is well protected. So what do you think it means? That a bayit ha-mesumach ba-arazim, that makes it tough to destroy, as if it's what? This is like, this is Rome that's going to take a nuclear weapon to destroy. You know what it'll take to burn down your house? Bayit ha-mesumach ba-arazim is era, means mitro ea. It doesn't matter how much you think you can rely on your strong house. Believe me, it could be sitting in the middle of a forest of Arazim, and it can still be destroyed. Omer Rav Ashi Shmamina, since it says Chorev Basaf, it's Ki Matchil Churba Vasifa Matchil. When things start to fall apart in a home, it starts at the entryway, Basifa, the threshold. Well, we can have another basis for that. The famous pasuk, Vishia Yuka Sha'ar, specifically. So Shia, destruction, will hit at the gate. But the meaning of Shia is, it's a double meaning. It means when a place is deserted, so then there's this shade, which is called Shia. And he gets to work on the house, which is why when you have a house that has been left deserted, it always turns into a haunted house. People are convinced that it's a ghost house. And they hear all these crazy noises, and it starts falling apart, and the windows blow up. That's all Shia. So Shia Yukasha, Omar Mar Baravashi, I saw it myself. And man, it gets to work, and like a bull running through the bulwarks over there, the Nagach Kitura. And it just tears everything apart. And that's why you left the house empty, and it looks like a tornado hit it. Omravuna. But you should know that the Zimra, the Nagde, with the Bakari, Shori, the music that are sung by people that are drawing the boats along the canals, you know, the old, the old Volga boatman song. So those kind of songs are not music for making yourself, you know, happy and getting involved in beautiful lyrics. That's just there in order to strike up a rhythm that makes it easy for you to work. And so that type of thing is mutter. The same thing is true of Bakari. When people have the shvarim that are pulling on the plows, they sing songs because the bakar responds to the song, and that's one of the way that you lead them to get moving. But gardoi also, the weavers, they always have all of these filthy songs. That's the place where people speak lashon hara. They're sitting around there weaving, and they're weaving their webs indeed. And so, because of that, that is certainly not considered to be a working song. Rav Huna, once in his town, he was mavatel music, and kam mea avaze bezuza. What happened was, there was such a brocha in that town that you could buy 100 geese for 1 zuz, and you could buy 100 saw of chitim for 1 zuz, and even at that low, cheap price, nobody would even want to buy, they had so much. But Rav Chista came later, and he was mizalzel and no, mele, you don't have to be so machmer. He didn't enforce it so much. And then you wanted to buy a goose for 1 goose for a zuz, which is 100 times the price, and nobody would sell it. Velo mishtakach, you couldn't find one to buy. Omer of Yosef, Zamre Gavre Ve'ani Nashi. If you have a choir in which the men, they take the lead, and women are the ones who are the chorus in the back, that's Pritzusa. But to do it the other way around is worse. Zamre Nashi, if the women take the lead, and the men are the ones that are singing the chorus, Ani Gavre, that's like putting explosive material, because there you have to pay close attention to the women, because you're responding to what they're saying. That is a disaster. Okay, I mean, but both of them are wrong, you're saying, so L'may Nafka Mina. I mean, bottom line is, it's all bad. No, that's not true. Because, look, you don't always have the ability to deal with everything wrong in your society. So you need to have a hierarchy of what is most important to deal with and what is less important to deal with. So the question is, are cell phones the biggest problem or is Lashon Hara the biggest problem? So then don't deal with the cell phones. So what you can deal with, you deal with. So over here, you have to know if you're going to be able to only deal with one issue. So the first thing you need to deal with is the one that's explosive. Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Kol HaShoteh Be'arba'a Minei Zemer, Mevi Chamesh Puraniyot Olam. So people who are drinking wine, and with this is like very decadent. So they go into the pub, they're drinking in the pub, and meanwhile you've got a little orchestra there that have brought all kinds of musical instruments, that ends up bringing Chamesh Puraniyot Olam. Take a look at the pasuk, Shenema. Hoy mashkimei v'boker sheikhar yerdofu. Whoa, this is one of the hoys. Remember, we spoke about before that there were these hoys. These are examples of the hoys that Yeshayahu uses. So hoy mashkimei v'boker, I guess you could translate it as woe, you know, in English. So God help us. Woe to those people who get up early in the morning. The first thing they look for is a drink. And then at night, they stay up late at night. They go to the pub and they're ma'achri b'nefesh to get themselves turned on with alcohol. Me'achri b'nefesh yayin yadli came. It inflames their feelings. And then they bring in the kinor and the nevel and the tof and the chalil, mixing that with their wine. That's their idea of the good life. Ve'et po'al Hashem lo yabitu, and the incredible things that they could be seeing in the world, that doesn't even interest them. What it is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has made in the world that is so full of chokhmah and excitement and beauty, they don't even notice that. So Maktiv Acharav, what? And this is the four types of music he's talking about. Kinor, Nevel, Tov, V'Chalil. Lachain, so the pasuk continues. Gola Ami Mibli Da'at. So my people were thrown into Golas. Shigarmim galut lolam. It's those people that are so low class. They bring golos. Uchvodo mitei ra'av. They bring hunger instead of the cover that they used to have. Mevi'im ra'av lolam. V'hamona tzichei tzama. All the manys of the population are now dying of thirst. Shigarmim l'torah. Those who would drink tera. Shigarmim l'torah shetishtakach bilamdeha. They now are thirsty for Torah. That's exactly what the water is. So this is a metaphor. They won't find the Torah that they want. Vayishach hadam vayishpal ish. They bring people down to the ground. Man gets tied down to the ground. He gives the world its saddest sound. Shigormim shiflut l'son oshel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It brings the saddest sound. And chas v'sholom, to bring such degradation, we use the euphemism to the sonor shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because ein ish v'yashpal ish chas v'sholom is a reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shenemar Hashem ish milchama ve'enei givohim tishpalna. Those who were great are brought to the ground. Shegormim shiflut shel Yisrael. Umakti v'acharav. What is therefore going to happen to them? Because of that, Gehenna has gotten a very big appetite. And the mouth of hell has become opened way more than it should be. The arad hadara v'hamona u'sha'ona v'alazba. Let all of those people who were in Sion, it was talking about before, the whole bunch can all go down with all of those people that were having so much happiness in their pubs and let them enjoy it in hell. Okay, so this is the end of our discussion here in the Gemara, and it's time for us to take a look, because this sounds awfully awful, because of course nowadays it's exactly what everybody does. Are we going to have all of our ears torn off because we listen to music? So it's time, first of all, just to go through very quickly the basic halachas over here. So as I said, remember, there's a basic machlokas about what the Isser is. Is it because of the Churban, or is it because of the lyrics? So that makes big nafkamina. Because if you're gonna, if the Isser is because of the Churban, then it's the getter of the happiness, in which case, as Tosfos Paskins, the only Isser is actually in the Mishneh, in the Beit HaMishneh, which is actually the way the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, that the Isser was said, as it says in the Pasuk, and that there is, however, another thing, because since it compares it to the people who are so into themselves, so he calls that Kederach HaMelachim. So he paskins that Ko'otam HaMelachim, that are Kamim V'Shochvim Amitatam B'Kleshir, that is also to overdo it. That's the way most people learn the Melachim. Now we're going to see there's another sheet about Melachim, and that's the way the Rama actually paskins. And so as the Rav Meisher paskin, Ein Limchot B'Yad Mekilim, even if you want to be Machmer, and it's good to be Machmer, you should never be Mecha to someone who is Soimech on the Halacha. And the Mashma'ut is, from the Lashon of Tosfos, that it's even people who are Machmer, in the case of the person who is Ragil, that's a Chumra, but not Mi'ikar Hadin. And the question over here is, whether it's mutter, and this the Rambam brings halacha, and the Rif also brings. The Rif says, look, all of this is benogea people that are singing songs like the Arabs sing. What are songs like the Arabs sing? Those are songs that people sing about love of human beings, or about glory, and they talk about, you know, the powerful knight, or the beautiful people, all of that type of things. That's Arabic music. He says, I never heard ever that there should be anybody who is makbid on singing things that are kilus to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and beautiful songs about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's chasodim and so on. Adarabah, I've seen all over that that is gufa, the minag Yisrael b'chol mokim, zeichri naisoysov, v'chasadov, shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu im Yisrael, and that's the only zimra, the osor marukva, is things that are neginais, the zloshen is, la'ahavat adam l'chavero, l'shabeach yafeh b'yafyo, l'kaleis gibor b'gvurato, that's the Yishmaelim halalu, they do that, he brings the Arabic word for that kind of Ashar al-Jazal, but whatever. And that would be the only thing that would be awesome. So fine. So then the question over here is, and this is the others, the Chumra is, that even the Bato, the Beit Mishta'ot, the way the Bach understands it, since it says afterwards that we need to be Matir, the Volga Boatman song, that's not a Shir Beit Mishta'ot. I mean, there it seems to be saying that even if you are just singing a cappella, I mean, they don't have music when you're with the parim in the field. So we said the reason that it's mutter over there is because it's not really meant for music. It's meant to be minding the shvarim, which is mashma, that even just bal peh would be aser. So then that would not mean only bebeit mishtaot. So that is the tzad. The Rama doesn't paskin like that, but there are many who do, and the Rambam paskins even shelo bebeit hamishteh, but the Rambam says that it's the minhag Yisroel b'chol mokam to sing songs that are about, you know, like the Zmiris that we sing on Shabbos and are about the Chasdei Hashem Yisbarach and so on. Okay, so we have, first of all, we have the Rambam. Now the question is, if we paskin like that Rama, so then the question is, what precisely is the meaning of Kederach HaMelachim? So he's paskining that it's Davke Bebeit HaMishtaot, which is the way that we just described. People go to sleep late at night because they go sit in the pub and they're listening to instruments. And it even mentions the instruments. Now, that raises another issue. Why are you mentioning the instruments? What does the instruments have to do with it? Anybody who has these instruments, if the problem is music, why instruments? So now there's a number of very important elements that need to be understood here. One is that the point of instruments is mashma, that it really is the instrument. So this is the Chiddush of Rav Avadia, and also the Tshuvas Chalkas Yaakov brings this, that if it's not on instruments, but it's coming out of a loudspeaker, and he even is mako, even if you're at a live concert, because the music is coming through a sound system, it's not called instruments, that this was never part of the Gezerah of Chazal on music because of the Churban. It was only Osir on the instruments, like we bring it in the Pasuk, which is incredible. That's where this idea comes from, that when you're talking about electronic reproduction, that is not part of the Isser that is meant over here. The other issue is the question of what do we mean by Shmiyat HaMelachim? So here we also have the Tzitz Eliezer, and also Rav Avadia says that this idea of the Ramah, that it's usher not only in the pub, but also Kederach HaMelachim, what it means is that it's Davka, the type of music, meaning that it's done with fanfare. You bring an orchestra there, and it's real. It's not just background music. It's part of a whole show that the Melachim are doing. It's the way, of course, that it was in the house of all of those that used to support music, and they used to have in their homes, they used to always bring in, there's still plenty of places that do that. They would bring in the quartet or the quintet, and this was a weekly kind of thing or a daily kind of thing if it was with the Malchus. That, according to the Tzitz Eliezer, is what is meant by the Ramah, is the meaning of music that people turn on cheaply by putting on an MP3 or something like that. That's beferish, not like Melachim. Listen, that's closer to music than it is to the Derech HaMelachim. So Memel, if that isn't done in the Beit HaMishtaot, it would not bichlal be included. Then there is also an old tshuva from before, I mean, it's old, but before the Holocaust, from the tshuva Samarashag, who says that Lamaisa, a lot of music that is listened to, is listened to not in order to create simcha, but in order to prevent depression. Because a lot of the music is not music of simcha. A lot of the music is just in order to be able to hear something beautiful. And it could be it's even sad music. And its idea is to get a person a broader perspective and to make him feel that he has less to fear in the world and so on. That tain is the Marashag. Nobody ever asered. And that would be the equivalent of, like we see the Gemara says, Vayikin again, amin again, that was used bedavka frash royas ruach hakodesh. So nobody ever asers that, if that is the way in which you're listening. So again, there's many issues over here that have contributed to a general laxity of worrying about this Isser overall. Since, and also many bring halacha lemaisa, that those who are composing music and those who are learning to play music, there's no Isser. So again, we have a number of things that people are semechan. If people want to be very makbid, they have who to be semechan to be makbid, and they could go all the way to Aser, even all year round, even al capella music, if it isn't for tzorech kedusha and so on. But on the other hand, there are those who could be very makel. First of all, because most of the music that they listen to is not melachim music. It's not dramatic. It's not a concert. Secondly, it utilizes artificial instruments, meaning electronic instruments or even electronic amplification and speakers. And therefore, there are those shitas who hold that it's mutter. And thirdly, because it's cheap and it's more like background rather than something that you're paying the attention of making a big fuss over the way that the Malachi made. Okay, that is a brief review of a very, very extensive issue, la halacha, which has become, even as the Marshag himself points out, even though I'm telling you this heter about the way that people listen to prevent depression, I'm just telling you that it's a tragedy that Klal Yisrael seems to have totally forgotten the whole inyan of the hakbada that we had on music because of the churban. It says in the Mishnah that after the Nevi'im HaRishonim, which is not clear what exactly that means, there was no longer an Urim V'tumim, which of course doesn't mean there was no longer the Choshen, because that's, it would have meant that the Big Dekuna would have been Choser. But it means that the Urim V'tumim didn't work, didn't answer, the Shechina didn't respond. So who exactly are these Nevi'im HaRishonim? Omer Rav Huna, it's a reference to David, to Shmuel, to Shlomo, or so basically the earliest of the Nevi'im. Actually, Rashi lists these as the, in the Gemara Megillah, where we have the 48 Nevi'im that were named Adri Yisroel. Rashi lists it like that, Shmuel, David, and Shlomo. Rav Nachman says, and that can't be true, because Bimei David, look, during the time of David, we find that the Urim V'tumim sometimes work and sometimes didn't work. So maybe it was a gradual fading out. Because Sha'ar Sha'al Tzadok V'al Talo, and Sha'al Aviatar V'lo Al Talo, Shenemar V'yal Aviatar. Understand that the meaning of V'yal Aviatar is that Aviatar was thrown out, so to speak, of the Kuna, meaning they gave him a promotion. So, Vayal Aviatar means, all right, we'll give you an ambassadorship, you know, to Mali or something. But meanwhile, he was no longer the Kohen Gadol. Why? Because David HaMelech, when he was running away from Avshalom, so he asked from the Urim V'tumim, Aviatar, who had been the Kohen Gadol, was with him. And he asked what to do, and there was no response. So then David told Tzadok that he should go and ask. And there was a response. So they made Tzadok the Kohen Gadol. And after that, Aviatar was no longer Kohen Gadol. Mosiv Rabbi Bashmuel, Vayhi, Lidrosh Elohim b'mei Zechariyahu ha-mevin, Birot Elohim. How can you say that there was no Urim V'tumim? I mean, undoubtedly, this Zechariyahu ha-mevin was the child of Yehoyada. This was much, much later, obviously, and we're talking about, almost two centuries later after David HaMelech. So this is at the time of Uzziah HaMelech, and Lechora, when it says Birot Elohim, I'm assuming that that means Urim V'tumim, right? So apparently there was still an Urim V'tumim hundreds of years after David. No, it wasn't they're talking about the Melech Uzziah would get an answer through Zechariah HaMevin. No, it means through Nevi'is. Doesn't mean an answer can also be through Nevi'ut, so that he would ask the Navi to tell him what the Ratzon Hashem was. Okay, still, Tashma, it's still clear that there was an Urim V'tumim long after the time of David HaMelech, because there's Mishachorav Beit HaMikdash Rishon. From the time of the Churban Rishon, Batel Ari Migrash, so the Orei Migrash of the Levian became Batel. Now, that can't mean that it became, that it came Batel. Rashi says it's talking about that the Migrash Saviv La'arim. But Lagabe, what? It's not clear at all, because, I mean, these are Dinim D'Oraisa. And the fact that these dinim also included that the Orei Aleviyim were all Orei Miklat also is a deraisa. I mean, it doesn't seem reasonable to say that there was a change in that. So what might it mean? Some say it means that most of the Leviyim no longer lived in the Orei Aleviyim, and they just went and spread around with other, with the general population. The whole chashivas of the Orei Aleviyim with the Migrash Aleviyim was lost. Okay, not clear. And what happened was, is that Pasak Melech Mibeit David, and there was no longer at the end after the Chur, but there was no longer Malchus Beis David. Vim Lechashcha Adam Lomar, if somebody whispers in your ear and says to you, nah, come on, this can't be. Because remember that it says, even at the time of Ezra and Nehemiah, Vayomar HaTirshata Lahem Asher Lo Yochlu Mikodesh HaKodashim, Adam Ad Kohen Lurim V'Tumim. So over there was talking about, remember, that when Ezra went up, in Nehemiah, so they had the Ktave Yichus of everybody, and they set aside, set up Mishmorot and so on, but there were Kohanim that weren't able to bring a Ktav Yichus. So Nehemiah said, well, we're going to have to wait for the Urim V'Tumim. So that's okay. So apparently they were planning on asking the Urim V'Tumim about these Kohanim, whether they're kosher Kohanim or not. No. And Marlo explained to the guy that that expression of the way of Adamot Kohen Urim V'Tumim, that's the way they used to say, the way we say today, well, when Mashiach comes. In other words, it's nothing that anybody's planning on doing. It's just sort of this hope. Right? So the same thing in those days. They say, okay, when the Urim V'Tumim will work, you know, then we'll be able to find what the din is of these Kohanim. But they weren't actually seriously planning to ask the Urim V'Tumim. That's what it means. It's like somebody says today, Kadem Shomer L'Chaviro, you know, after Trias HaMeisim, after Mashiach comes, you know, then we'll worry about it. Okay, anyway. So, but it definitely is mashma that as long as the Beis HaMikdash HaRishon was there, there was still the Urim V'Tumim that was working. Elom Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, the meaning of Neviim HaRishonim over here means up till the time of Chagai Zechariah Malachi, because Chagai Zechariah Malachi are called the Neviim Acharonim, the Acharonim Ninu. Because the Tana Rabbana now, obviously our Gemara here does not have the right girsa, because it doesn't say here that they're called Acharonim. And the truth is that in Yuma, it uses specifically the Lashon, Mi Shemetu Neviim HaAcharonim, Chagai Zechariah Umalachi. So there is what we're relying on. So that means that we're calling this Chagai Zechariah Umalachi. Okay. That means that they are the end of the usefulness of the Choshen Mishpat with the Urim V'Tumim. Obviously, there was still a Choshen Mishpat. So at that point, Nistalka Ruach HaKedesh Mi'Yisrael, in terms of the actual response of the Shechina V'Afapika Niyum Mishtamshim Bivat Kol. Nonetheless, even though they didn't hear the actual Kol Min HaShemayim, so to speak, in other words, there was no real further Nevias, but there was still a Bat Kol Min HaShemayim, which means sort of the equivalent of like an echo. We still catch what it is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Rotzen is through a Gilui, but not through a direct Gilui Shechina. But like we said before, remember, we were talking about a Malach that is Miyuchat for a Baskol. That's for the purposes of communication. I'll show you examples that we've had even recently. Shepam Achat, Ayum Mesubim, Aliyat, Beit Guria, B'Yericho, and all of the Chachomim were there. And nitna lehem bat kol min hashamayim, they heard this bat kol that said, yesh bechem adam echad sheraui shetishre shechina alav. You should just know that one of the people that is sitting here today is roui to be a novi. And the only reason he isn't is she'in doro roui lekach. Now, it didn't say who it was, because l'maisa, you're not supposed to be mishabeach an adam b'fonov, but everybody there figured they know who it is. They all turned to look at Hillel HaZaken, and they knew that that's what it was referring to. Uchashemet, when Hillel HaZaken died, they were maspid him, Hai Chassid, Hai Anav, Talmido Shel Ezra, Veshuv Pa'amachad. So in other words, they gave him the same zechus, so to speak, that he rebuilt Torah that came from Bavel. They were very similar in that way. So that when Ezra came from Bavel, he was maimid the Torah, And so too did, remember that Ezra, when he was made fun of them, why do you think a guy like me should be able to do that? You weren't properly medayek in your Torah. Fine. Okay, and then there was another Maisa, where also, this was in Barnea's neighborhood, Veshuv Pahama Chata Yemesim Ba'aliyah Be'yavne, and Nitna Aleyem Batko Min HaShamayim, and said the same thing, Yesh Bechem Adam Echad Sh'ru'i Shetishre Shechina Alav. And the only reason that he's not a Navi is Ein Doro Zakya In Lakach. So over there, they figure they know who that is. That is Shmuel HaKatan, Uchishamet, he's bidu also by saying, Hey Chassid Talmido, Hey Anav, Hey Chassid Talmido Shel Hillel. And you can see that Shmuel HaKatan had in him elements of Nevius, because before he died, Bisha'at Mitato, he said all kinds of things that were going to happen, and they all turned out to actually happen. Afu Amar Bisha'at Mitato, that Shimon v'Yishmol, my friend Shimon v'Yishmol, this is referring to Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Gadol, they're going to be killed by the Romans, by the Cherub, and Shar Ama Leviza, and the rest of Klal Yisrael is going to be, actually, they're going to be crushed, and all their property will be taken. The Akan Sigin Atidin Lebeite Alama, terrible things are going to fall on Klal Yisrael. Be'afa Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava Bikshu Lomar, they wanted to say the same words on Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava. Because remember the other Haruge Malchus, the difference between them and the Shimon v'Yishmol is that they weren't killed by Cherev. They were killed by all kinds of other horrible ways, like Rabbi Akiva, you know, with the rakes, and like Rabbi Hananya ben Trad, you know, was burned alive and things like that. So he was saying that the ones that were Lecharva were particularly Shimon and Yishmael. They wanted to say the same thing, Hey Anav Echasid, on Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, but they couldn't, because since he had been killed by the Malchus, we're very careful not to say a hesped on a Ruge Malchus, because the government may use that as an excuse to go kill the people that were involved in the hesped. But, oh, you know, so apparently you're against the government. Misha Charav Beit HaMikdash, the next thing we said, is that after the Churban, the Shamir, which was that special worm that could cut through stone, so the Shamir no longer was available. Tana Rabbana. Shamir, Shabo Banah Shlomo et Beit HaMikdash, Shenemar, how do we know that the Shamir was used for the actual Binyan HaMikdash? Shenemar v'habayit b'hibanoto even Shlema Matzah Nivna. So that they actually used the stones exactly as they were taken from the quarry. And it then goes on to say that there was no sound, makavot, garzon, kol kli bazel, no sound of any metal tools, lo nishma babayit bivonoto. So then one way of understanding that means that they actually didn't use any metal tools. And that is the way Rabbi Yehuda understands exactly what it means. Hadvarim kichtava. Amar lo Rabbi Nechemia, how could you say that? V'chichayev shalomar kein. V'alo kvar nemar. It says beferish in the posik that all of these avanim that were used, kol avanim, kol elo avanim, yikarot kimidat gazit migororot b'migira, b'bayit b'michutz, u'mimesed atfachot, and so on. So these were beautifully, completely smooth stones, like they had been smoothed out by a file. So what are you telling me? They didn't have any metal kalim? And so then why does it say there were no metal kalim? It doesn't say there were no metal kalim, says Rabbi Nechemia. It says you didn't hear any metal kalim. Lo nishma babayit mibanato, which means exactly what it says. They would not bring in these metal kalim into the mokum abinyan of the Beis HaMikdash, but they would finish after the quarrying outside. They would completely smooth down these stones, and then they would bring them in that final form, but they didn't do the actual work. That I agree. Oh, my Rebbe, the truth is that Nirin Divrei Rebbe Yehuda be'avnei Mikdash, B'divrei Rebbe Nechemia be'avdei Beito, that actually I think the meaning is very clear. Rabbi Yehuda agrees that in the building of the Bayis of Shlomo, which was also a very important project, that over there they did use the metal. So basically what Rebbe is saying is, I agree with what it is that Rebbe Yehuda said, Gabe the Beis HaMikdash, because I hold that Rebbe Nechemiah, who says, well, but it says that these were all perfectly filed down stones, that's a reference to the Binyan of Shlomo. That seems to be the meaning of what he's saying. But anyway, if that's true, so according to Rebbe Nechemiah, who holds that they did use metal for building the Beis HaMikdash, except they didn't bring the metal in, so then what was the point of the Shamir? I mean, the Gemara goes through this whole thing of how it is that Shlomo HaMelech managed to catch the Shamir, and he used Ashmedai to tell him where to get it. It's this whole story. So why was it so desperate to get the Shamir? Ah, because you need the Shamir for something else. What do you do with the Avnei Ephod Vachoshen? Gavi has disappeared. Avanim alalu eine kotvim otan bidyo. You can't write on them the Shemes Hashvatim with ink, because it says beferish bimmi, it says pituchei chotam. You can't actually engrave them with an engraver of some kind, because then you're gonna, by etching them, they're gonna be losing some of their material. And therefore, you would be over on bimiluotam. They have to be complete, besides the other meaning of miluotam, that they were inside of a setting. But it means they were complete. So how in the world could you engrave the Shemot HaShvatim if you weren't able to engrave and you couldn't just write? What are the options? Ah, the options were actually beautiful. What you did was you would write the name of all of the Shvatim. Then you would take the Shamir, and the Shamir would follow the writing. And then wherever the Shamir was, the stone wouldn't lose material, it would crack. So there would be a no loss, and yet it would still be similar to having inscribed it. So the Shamir would go on top of it, like a teina, you know, if you have a fig that gets very ripe. So it's, in the summertime, it's nifkat by itself, but it doesn't lose any material. Or the same thing is true, kibik azu, when the floor of a valley stream dries up. So it's nifkat, and when it gets wet, it actually starts opening up, and ein chasera klum. That's the meaning. Tana rabbanan shamir ze briato ki seora. It's like a tiny snail, the size of a seora, and it came from, remember, the twilight zone. It was built, one of the things that was made bein hashmashot. So it's there from sheshet yimei bereishit nivra. And therefore, there's nothing that can stand up to its presence. Well, if that's true, then how do you transport it? Anything that you'll put it in, it'll crack right through, I thought, right? So this is sort of like trying to achieve nuclear fusion with the plasma, but you can't have anything that holds the plasma. So what are you going to do? Did they make magnetic bottles for Shamirs? No, actually, what they did was they used Kleenex. Mamemishamrimoto said, yo, here's something that's very soft that is not affected by the Shamir. So they would take Korchimoto bisfugim shel tzemer. So they would have like these spongy-like pieces of wool. Minichinoto biitni shel avar mileyaz subei seorim. And then they would fill up a lead pipe. So, and they with bran. Bran is also very soft. And that way they'd put it inside the wool, which was inside the bran. And on that they had radioactive proof lead. So that way it wouldn't affect anything. Omer Biami, Mishachar of Mikdash Rishon, other things that were lost at the time of the Beis HaMikdash, the first Churban, Botla Shira Paranda Uzechuchit Livana. So this special kind of silk that they used to have, paranda, and clear glass that they had up until then, that is no longer available. Tanya Naviachi, Mishachorov Bingdash Rishon, Batla Shioparanda, Zechuchit Lavona, and Rechav Barzel. That stopped making tanks. And, okay, so I mean, the Mefarshim say that these are not only references to the physical loss, but to Madregas, you know, to use tanks to fight your Yetzer Hara is different than just using guns, you know. So they used to have tanks. Very sweet. Okay, so then the tank industry broke down after the Churban. V'yesh omrin, af yayin karush haba misnir. Also, that wonderful wine that they used to be able to, was so thick, it would actually turn into a jelly. Adomeki igulei dvela, it was so thick, it was like a fig cake. They no longer had that level. And when the second Beis HaMikdash was Mukharov, that was the end of Nofet Sufim. But what is Nofet Sufim? Omarav, it's a solet shetzafa al gabe nafa. Nofet Sufim is a cute word. What it means is that the flour is so incredibly fine that it simply settles down on top of the sieve, and it's already like an isa sheni losha bedvash v'shemen. So it gets stuck around the top because it's so fine it just sticks. You can't get it to go through the sieve. But Levi Omer, no, it's referring to the kind of bread that you make. So you put them on the edges of the tanur, which is the way that they baked bread, and then they become so incredibly light and fluffy that they bump into each other from the opposite sides of the oven. So they swell. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Omer, Nofes Tzufim is referring to dvash. It's dvash that comes from Tzufim, places that are very high up in the mountains. My mashma, what makes him say that there comes honey, the good honey comes from the mountain flowers? Kinemetargem Rav Sheshes. Because remember, Rav Sheshes had this bekias in Targum, and actually, some have Rav Yosef, because we often quote Rav Yosef in the Targum. When it says over there in the Pasuk, it says, Vayetzei ha'emori, ha'yoshev bahar ha'hu, and they came out, yirdifu etchem kasher ta'asena ha'devorim. They chased you like bees. So the Targum over there is, kima denatzen dabariyata v'shaitin brome alma. It's like the bees go out and fly up to the tops of the mountains, umatyan dufsha mi ispe tura. They get this delicious honey from the mountain, these beautiful mountain flowers, and that is only like a brief season, so they go like up there as a whole group of bees, and that's what came and chased you guys. Tznan hasa. So now, in the Mishnah Machshirim, and Rashi brings it from the wrong Mishnah, it seems to be mistaken Girsa. So in the Mishnah Machshirim, we discussed this before, that kol ha-nitzok tohor, chutz bidvash zipim, v'hatzapichim. So normally, if you are pouring from one container to another container, it's not considered to be a chibur for tuma. So let's say the bottom container is tameh, and the top container contains liquid that's tohor. By pouring from the tohor into the tameh, it does not go into the liquid that's on top, and it remains tohor. Unless it is so thick that when you break off the pouring, instead of dripping down, the molecular tension is so high that it goes back up. So if it goes back up, then it's actually as if it were a solid. And therefore, if it touched the bottom one, it did become tame. So only very thick honey would do this. So the only thing would be dvash zivim and dvash tzapichim, which is so thick that, you know, I'm sure you've seen this, that honey will actually go back up. Why is it called zipim? What is zipim? Omer Rabbi Yochanan, because it's mizayfimo bo. If the honey is that thick, so then the manufacturers claim that they're selling you pure honey, but they've actually adulterated the honey with all kinds of other stuff. And it's so thick that you don't even notice. So that's called phony honey. Veresh Lakish Amar? No. It's called honey, that's zipim, because it comes from zif. I mean, it's a pasuk, for heaven's sakes, that there is such a place. In Yoshua, Ziv v'telem uvalut. Kayotse b'davar. It's interesting that this zivim is actually a question in other places, because we have the same thing in the Tehillah. Bevo hazifim veyomru leShaul halo David mistaterimanu. So over there we have the same machlokas. What exactly is David HaMelech referring to when he calls them zifim, my zifim? So Rabbi Yochanan says it means they're phonies. These were guys who were pretending to be friends with David HaMelech. Meanwhile, they're sending messages to Shaul. Don't worry, we can deliver him. You know, come and get him. Disgusting. So they're mizayfim divrayim. Rabbi Elazar over there also says zifim is simply the name of a place. People that come from Zif, Hashem Mikomam, Kirechtiv Zif V'telem V'alut. And then, at the end of the Churban, Posku Anshei Amana. What are Anshei Amana? Faithful kind of people. Omar Rebbe Yitzchak, these are people that are so full of their faithfulness that they will rely on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because remember, Imlo Ta'aminu V'kilo Te'amanu. The level, as the Navi says, the level of your ability to trust others is dependent entirely on the level that you find yourself to be trustworthy. So if you don't trust yourself, how are you going to trust HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So even though, let's say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises us that don't worry about Hotzoah Shabbos, you know, don't worry about Meiser, you'll get it all back, these people, they get too nervous to do that, you know. But people who are actually Anshei Amanah, they end up being mamin in HaKadosh Baruch Hu even for putting out money that they don't have. Titania Rebbe Eliezer HaGadol Omer, Ko mi sheyesh lo pat b'salo. Somebody's got enough to eat today, and he's all nervous. What am I going to eat tomorrow? I don't know. Am I going to get a raise? I don't know. Am I going to get fired? Can I get a better job? And he's all worried about tomorrow. That kind of person, eno ela miktanei amana. That's a person who's got absolutely no reliability. He's not a faithful person. But I knew the Omar Rabbi Elazar, my dichtiv, ki mi vaz leyom ktanot. So remember, we used this pasuk. We were talking about the Indian of the Beis Hamikdash, the second Beis Hamikdash, that these were the people who were mivaze, the building of the second Beis Hamikdash, and said, this is a Beis Hamikdash. These were the people that had been there at the time of the first Beis Hamikdash. They were the ones who were crying. So they said, this doesn't mean anything to us. That's the simple meaning that it's referring to over there. And he darshins the posik to mean, ki mi vaz means mi garam la tzadikim sheyit bazbez. So yit bazbez means things are taken away. Bizat. So how is it that tzaddikim should have a smaller shulchan, li'atid lavo? This is katnut, you small-minded idiots. But you lose out by being all so nervous about the things that are going to come in the future. That's small-mindedness. Katnut shaya behem. But you got to worry about such small-minded issues. Shelo he'aminu b'kadosh baruch hu. Another meaning, Rav Amar, kat. Note is actually ktanim. In other words, ktanei b'nei Rishei Yisrael. This is a reference to children, the son of Rishei Yisrael that died during their childhood, as the Rambam says, that sometimes this can happen because of the chet avotam. And since they don't have their own din, so they're still considered to be dependent on their parents. So these children who died, they actually end up being mibazbez din aviem latid lavo. They actually rip up Midas HaDin against their fathers in the future, because they say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Omrim Lefanav, HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to be Dan, their fathers, after their father's death. So these children say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Me'achar Shata Atid Li Parameyem. This isn't fair. I mean, if you're going to, anyway, you're going to give them their time in hell, so why did you have to give them such a rough time while they were alive? You could have treated them nicely. Lama hiketa shineim bum? Why bum, meaning by them, meaning by themselves, by us? Why did you have us die in their lives and make them so miserable to suffer the death of their children? You could have at least allowed them to enjoy Olam Hazeh. If you're going to throw them into hell, this is ridiculous. And because of that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tears up the din against them. So they are mevazveis. They end up wrecking the din of their fathers. Beautiful.